Hello, everybody. I am not Pastor Nathan. I know. I know, I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. So welcome, welcome. Glad you were here today. I don't know about you guys, but I have enjoyed this beautiful weather that God has been giving us. The company that I work for, I have a full-time job, so the company I work for, they gave us this whole week off, this whole past week, paid vacation. And so I've enjoyed this week. I've actually rested this week. Janet picks on me about resting. I actually feel rested. But also during that time this week, I've been able to think, ponder, and just wonder why. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be wondering and talking about why. Why? What's your purpose? Why? Why are you here? You know, we have all these questions of why. And for me, this past week has been, why is everything so chaotic in the world? You know, why is this COVID just thrown the world for a loop? You know, what is my purpose? I even get more personal with this, like, why am I here? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about your why. And so, you know, people get, they go through life feeling discouraged about themselves if they can't figure out what their why is. So we're going to look at three different people in the Bible, and we're going to see how they had a why, but then God came to them and changed their why into a God why. We're going to be looking at the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well. We're going to be looking at Moses, and then we're going to be looking at Saul, who became Paul. And over the last few months, we've been talking about your gifts a lot. We went through the fivefold ministry series. And so we know that God has gifted each of us with a reason and a purpose. And we try to fill those whys with all these earthly things. We kind of touched on this Friday night in our table gathering, but, you know, we each have this hole that we try to fill. And I think of it like a peg. You know, we have this empty hole, and we're trying to fill that hole with all these earthly things and making our why. Because we want a nice car, we want a nice house, we want all these things, when the only thing that can fit in that hole in our life, the only thing that it should be your why is God. You know, you have a circle and you're trying to fit that square peg in that circle and it doesn't work. So your why should be God, period. So let's look at these three different people today. And like I said, we're going to be starting with Samaritan woman at the well. We're going to be in John chapter 4. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You know, Jesus was at that well accidentally. No, he wasn't. He was there with a purpose. He was with the disciples, and they were traveling around, and they were on their way to Samaria, and he got tired. And so he decided to sit by this well, and he sent the disciples on to find some food. So he sits by this well, and all of a sudden he sees this woman coming toward him. It's a Samaritan woman is coming up to draw water, and it's noon. So they're in the desert, so you know at noontime it's hot. And so she's coming up to get this water. And so obviously, you know, she's going there because she knows there's probably not going to be anybody else there. But she shows up, and there's Jesus sitting there, and he talks to her. He asks her for a drink of water. Now, during that culture, during that time, you didn't find a man and a woman together like that. Men were dominant, the women were kind of in the background. So for you to see a man and woman together alone talking, that was very unusual. And so she, I'm sure, was kind of taken back. Plus, this was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. And so that's just, Jesus and Samaritans just didn't get along. So this was, the whole scenario of this whole story is just very out of character for the culture. So he asked her for a drink, and she's like, for me? What do you want this drink of water for? And then he continues talking to her, and he offers her water. But it's not water that she could drink. It's living water. It's eternal water. It's eternal life. And so then we're going to start reading chapter, like I said, we're going to be in chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. And this is where we're going to pick up. And the conversation kind of shifts a little bit. This is where she starts to realize that he is a little different. So we're going to start in verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." Again, referring to that eternal water that he's already offered her. So he told her, go call your husband and come back. And she says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. And then she replies to him, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. So here the conversation has shifted a little bit. Like, he has called her out. So she knows this is not some ordinary person. This is not an ordinary Jew. And so he's called her out on her sin, because she's been with five husbands and none of them were hers. Okay, so he's called her out. So this is where the conversation shifts. And so then she asks, she's like, she wants that water. She wants that eternal water that he's offered her. And this part of the story gives us insight into maybe why she was there at noon. Because if she was with five other husbands, she probably didn't have a very good reputation in town. So if she went to the well in the morning when women typically went, they'd probably talk about her. She's probably an outcast. And so she was there at noon to avoid all of that. So let's continue reading in verses 25 and 26. So the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared to her, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. So she knew just enough about the Bible or enough about the word to know that there was a Messiah coming that was going to change the world. Because she says, I know there's a Messiah coming. And then he calls it out and says, I am the Messiah. So could you imagine, I couldn't imagine, being this woman doing her ordinary thing of going to get water. And then she encounters this man who offers her eternal life. And I'm sure she's confused, because I would be confused. What are you talking about, eternal life? And so then he tells her everything that she's done. Brought up her sins, told her, you know, everything. And I'm sure she's just like, who is this person? But then she brings up, she's like, I know there's a Messiah coming. And then he says, I am he. I am the Messiah. I couldn't imagine. I would have just been in shock. Confused? What is going on? Why are you talking to me? You know, if me of all people, of my past, and you know how I live my life, why are you talking to me? So Jesus went there not because he was tired. His why was to talk to her. His why was there to offer her eternal life. Now, she was there for her why. Her why was just to get her water. Her why during her life was she found her why in relationships with different men. But because of that encounter that day, she was changed. Her why changed from her relationship with men to having a relationship with God. So let's continue reading, verses 27 through 30. It says, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman, but no one asked, what do you want? Why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So I can just see like a light bulb click on with her. Oh, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been hearing about. So she leaves her water jar and just runs back into town telling these people what has happened, who she's talked to. He told her everything about her life. And they're like, okay, well, let's go see this man. Let's see if who you're talking about is who you think it is. So we're going to continue reading in 39 through 42, and it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So because this one woman believed, because Jesus met her at the well, and she went back to town and told others, there were many more that were saved. There were many more that came out to see Jesus. They wanted him to stay extra days. So because of her one change, her shift from her why being because of men, her being because of men's relationships, to her believing, her why becoming God. That was her why. And then going to these people and telling these people what happened Look at the ripple effects of that. We have no idea how many people were saved. We have no clue. But it says many were saved because of that woman's testimony. The townspeople even wanted Jesus to stay an extra 2 days. So who knows how many people. But what I'm trying to get across is you might just be one person, but the ripple effects of you and your testimony and how many people that can be reached. And again, we don't know how many people were saved, but there were many that were saved because he met her where she was. So like I said, her original why was because of her relationships with men, but her final why was because of God. And so what can we learn from her? We learn that God will meet us where we are. It doesn't matter where you are, what you've done. He's going to meet you there. He's here. You don't have to be in this building to meet God. People think you have to come into the church. He's everywhere. You could be in your car going down the road, and he's going to meet you there. You could be mowing your yard, and he could meet you there. He likes to talk to me in the shower. So he's everywhere. You know, he's going to meet you wherever you are. So what do we learn from her? That he will meet us where we are. She was just doing her ordinary thing, going to get water, and there he was. All right, let's continue. We're going to now talk about Moses. Moses had a very interesting life. He was born a Hebrew, and at the time, his Hebrew family was slaves to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh became afraid of the slaves and decided to start killing all the baby boys. So Moses' mother knew that he was special. So at 3 months old, she built this basket, and she put it in the river. And I'm paraphrasing. But she put it in the river in hopes that somebody would find him and take care of him so he wouldn't be killed. Well, Pharaoh's daughter happened to be at the river that day taking a bath. And her maid went and got the basket, and they opened it up, and there was Moses. And so she was just, you know, what is this baby doing here? And, you know, what's going on? So she wanted to keep him. She wanted to raise him. But because he was so little, she needed somebody to continue feeding him. So she asked her maid to find somebody that could continue feeding him. And then whenever it was age, they would wean him off and bring him back to the palace. And that's exactly what happened. But what was so interesting about that was the one who fed him and kept him going was actually his mother. That maid went and found his mother. So she was able to continue taking care of him. So whenever he became of age, he went to the palace. He was raised in luxury, but he grew up knowing he was different. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew he was an Egyptian. He would go out and watch the Hebrew people just working hard and the Egyptians beating them and just being mean to them. And he just got tired of it. And so he went out one day and he killed one of the Egyptians that were beating the Hebrews. He went out and killed them. And then he hid him in the sand. And he was like, okay, I'm good. Nobody's going to know about it. But the next day he was called out. Someone saw him do that. Saw him killing that Egyptian. So he became afraid. And then he heard that Pharaoh was looking for him and was going to kill him because he killed one of those Egyptians. So he ran away and he went to live in Midian. And he lived there for 40 years. So basically he was staying in hiding for 40 years. So we're going to pick up here in Exodus chapter 3. And this is where Moses' life changes. He's out doing an ordinary thing, just like that Samaritan woman doing an ordinary thing. He was tending flock of the sheep of his father-in-law out in the wilderness. And he looks over and sees a bush, and it's on fire, or so he thought. So we're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 7 and then verse 10. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So verse 10 says, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So could you imagine he's out there again tending the flock, and he sees this bush that's on fire, but yet it's not burning. So he goes over to it, and from it he hears God, Moses, Moses. probably would have passed out. I don't know about y'all, but here's this bush that's not burning, but it is burning, and starts talking to me. So I'm not sure. I probably would have, anyway. But, you know, God tells him, you know, take off your sandals. This is a holy place. And he explains, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then he became afraid, ashamed. He hid his face. And I'm sure he's thinking back to what he had done, you know, killing that man. He's probably, again, he'd been there 40 years, but obviously he was in hiding, so he was still ashamed of what he had done. And so then God tells him, like, I have seen the misery of my people. And he wants to go and get them. He says in verse 10, I'm sending you. He called out Moses, said, I'm sending you back to Pharaoh. Now, that'd be scary, too, because, again, the last he heard, Pharaoh wanted to kill him. So, you know, he's, I'm sending you back to Pharaoh to bring my people out. God decided to deliver his people, and he wanted to use Moses to do that. So let's continue reading in verses 11 through 14. And it says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me. So obviously at the start of those verses there, Moses is skeptical. He's like, who am I that you want to send me? Obviously, I'm a coward, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm a coward. I've been hiding for 40 years. Why did you come to me? And again, like with the Samaritan woman, what did God do? He went to Moses. Okay, he went to where he was. And so he, again, he's skeptical. I can't do this. Why do you want me? And God tells him, I will be with you. So that day was like no other for Moses. Again, he was tending the flock. He was doing his ordinary thing. And what happened? God showed up. You know, he was there. He went to where Moses was. God had other plans for him. So Moses' original why was just doing his life. He was doing his ordinary thing. He was staying in hiding. He was trying to stay away from Pharaoh. That was his why. But God came to him and changed his why. God came to Moses and told him, I want you to go and bring my people out of slavery. So what's the why lesson that we learn from Moses? God can use us no matter what we have done. You know, Moses was in hiding, and he didn't think he could be used. But God came to him in that bush and wants to use him. You know, he killed man. Who am I? Why me? But God can use us no matter what. Whatever you got in your past, he can use you. I've done many, many things in my past that I'm ashamed of. I should not be here. But God says I should be. So do not let your past define you. Do not let God. It's so true. There's so many people in church that think they can't be used. Every one of us can be. He wants to use us no matter what. And you've probably heard me say before, but he can take your mess and make it into a message. And that's what he's done with me. I am such living proof of that. So let's continue on to our last person. The last person we're going to talk about is Saul Paul. And if you've heard me at any point in time or been around me, you know that he's one of my favorite people in the Bible because he was so far from God and then how God changed him and made him somebody new. So Saul was very passionate about his Jewish convictions, that he started mistreating people who had faith in Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, he says that Paul began to destroy the church. He was going from house to house, dragging both men and women out and putting them in prison. He would yell murderous threats to the disciples. And then in Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to be reading today. But Saul goes to the high priest, and he wanted to go to the synagogue in Damascus so that he could find others who had faith in Jesus so he could arrest them. So let's start reading in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I think that's interesting that Saul asked, who are you, Lord? He obviously knew who he was. So he continues, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. So for 3 days he was blind and he did not eat or drink anything. So here is Saul. He's a persecutor of the church. Okay, he hated Christians. He hated those people that followed Jesus. And he was arresting them, throwing them into jail. He was giving threats out to the disciples. And so here he was on his way on this dirt road to Damascus. He wanted to go and find out who else was following Jesus so he could arrest him. And who met him there? Jesus did. On that dirt road, he met him. Now, Saul had other plans. You know, he was on his way to find out who else was following Jesus so he could arrest him. But Jesus met him there. And from that point on, he changed his life. And later on, he changed him from Saul to Paul. He not only changed his life, he changed his name. And Paul became one of the most influential people in the Bible. Even to the point where he was arrested in prison, he was writing letters and changing lives from prison. So again, Jesus met him where he was and stopped him in his tracks and changed his way. So what's the why lesson that we learn from Saul Paul? God will change us if we will only allow him to. We've got to allow him to. You know, I mean, he can come to us and want to change us, but he gives us free will. But Saul, obviously, when I read that verse, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He already knew who he was. You know, he already knew. He knew that he was doing wrong. He was obviously convicted right there. This is the least interpretation. But I think he was convicted right there. You know, "Who are you, Lord?" He's the Lord. So he came to him where he was, and he changed Saul to Paul. And he will do that for us. He will change us if we will only allow him. So let's do a recap of our why lesson. So from the Samaritan woman, we learned God will meet us where we are. And in all three of those examples, he met them where they were. He went to Moses in the bush. He went to Saul on that dirt road. So again, from the Samaritan woman, we learned God will meet us where we are. So from Moses, we learned God can use us no matter what we have done. Praise God for that. And then from Saul to Paul, we learned that God will change us if we will only allow him to. So, how are you living your life? What is your why? Is your why, I want a bigger house? Is your why your work? Some people get so wrapped up in their work. Is your why your family? And there's nothing wrong with our family should be important to us. But your most important why should be God. On your list, we all have a list, a priority list. God should be number one. And if he's not your why, then why? Why is he not? What's stopping you from him being your why? So are you like the Samaritan woman who was living the wrong lifestyle, ashamed and outcast? You know, God will come to you right where you are. He wants to save you, and then he wants to use you to help save others. Think about that ripple effect of her and how many were saved. He can do the same with you if you'll just allow him to. Or are you like Moses, who ran for 40 years? You know, you hoped your sin would stay hidden. I think there's a lot of people who are in church that they're one way when they're here and they're another way when they're not here, and they think nobody's going to find their sins out. God knows your sin. God's everywhere. You cannot hide your sin from God. He knows your sin. He'll meet you where you are. He'll meet you in your wilderness. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a wilderness on a dirt road sometimes. He will meet you there. He will find you where you are, and he'll use you for his good no matter what you have done. Or are you like Saul Paul, who persecuted the church? You criticize others for being a Christian. You shame them for being a Christian. I sometimes feel that way when I'm around people who are not saved. I feel like they're kind of shaming me because I'm not better than you. I'm just, I am his child. And we are different. We're supposed to be different. But if you're like that, you know, God will meet you there. He'll make you into a new person. He'll make you into what he wants you to be if you'll allow him. You know, he don't care what your past looks like. He only cares about your future. So let him change you so that he can use you for the good. So I'm going to share a personal story about how God has met me many different times in many different ways. But I felt called into ministry several years before I got into ministry, and felt led to kind of into Christian counseling. Thought that was kind of the area that he wanted me to go into. And then Randy and I, we were at a church for a year in Medmen. We served over there for a year. And during that time, my mind kind of shifted a little bit. And it wasn't long after we came back after that year of service there that God met me in a dream. I'm talking about dreams. Maybe we'll talk about dreams earlier. But he met me in a dream, and I was preaching. I was like, okay. And I woke up from that, and I had a conversation. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when he likes to talk to me for some reason. But I woke up, and I was like, God, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? You know, because female pastors in this area are not highly looked upon. And so it's kind of scary. I'm just going to be honest. And so I was like, are you sure, God? Is this what you want me to do? So I ran from that for a little while. And then when I came here, and Nathan was preaching on your gifts, that I was in a Bible study that was also talking about don't let your family heritage dictate your spiritual heritage and that kind of thing. And all God just used all of that to come together for me to say, it is time. My purpose is for God, regardless of what people say, regardless of how people take it. I don't care what anybody else has to say. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, and we've talked about that before at a table gathering, but as long as I'm doing God's will, as long as I'm doing what God has called me to do, everybody else's opinion, if it's bad against me, doesn't matter. And that's hard. It is very hard. So for me, over the last 3 years, I have really tried to be my focus more and more of my why is God. And that's what your focus should be. It should be God. Now, are all of you called to be pastors? No. But you are called to help others. You are called to maybe teach a table gathering. You are called to maybe teach an online Bible study. We all are the hands and feet. It takes all these different parts. So you need to make your why God. You know, we don't deserve God's love, grace, and mercy. None of us do. But God says we do. He tells us in Ephesians 3, verses 18 through 19, and I don't have these for the guys back there because I added these last minute, but verses 18 through 19 says, I pray with you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So his why for us is he loves us beyond measure. We can't measure his love for us. And it's not going to change. He loves us today the same that he'll love us tomorrow. The same that he loved us in our past when we were doing wrong. His love is the same. So then he also tells us in Romans 8:28, he says that he's designed us for a purpose. And he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So he has designed each of us for a purpose. So my question to you is, why are you a Christian? Why do you call yourself a Christian? Is it because you come to church every Sunday and sit in the seat? Is it because you throw some money in the offering plate and you call yourself a Christian? Or is it because you have a relationship? Do you have that relationship? Your why should be God. That should be period. Nothing else. Your why should be God. And I heard this on the radio last week, and I love this. It says, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? Let that sink in. Are you a fan or a follower? A fan comes and sits in the seats and throws a little money in the thing and goes about their business. Cheers people on when they're doing good and goes on. A follower is in the trenches. They're there praying for people. They're there crying for people. They're there whenever somebody needs a hand up. So are you a fan or a follower? If you're a follower, then you're wise God. And if you're just a fan, then you're wise something earthly. So we really need, if you are a Christian, we really need in this world that we're living in, this chaotic world that David was talking about, that we're living in, the world needs followers.
Yes.
The church for so long has been fans.
Yep.
And we need followers. We need the church to stop sitting on the sidelines and get in those trenches with the people. It's time for us to change our why to love God, love others. Love God, love others. That's as easy as it is. And we have got to get in the game, and we've got to get in the trenches. And we've got to follow Jesus' example of serving others and giving to others. And if you think, okay, well, I'm older and he can't use me. Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
If you're younger and like, I'm too young, he can't use me. Yes, he can.
Amen.
Yes, he can. Age does not make a difference. I'll give you one more personal story. Think about my son Caleb. In 2013, Caleb started going to church with his cousin. Started going to youth group. Randy and I were not in church at the time. And he started going to youth group with his cousin. And anybody that knows Caleb, and there's not a lot of y'all that do because he's in college now, but he's very persistent. And he, when he has something on his brain, he's like, come on, Mom, you got to do it. Come on, Mom, you got to do it. So he kept inviting me to church. He's like, Mom, you need to go to church. You need to go to church. You need to go to church. And I'm like, okay, Caleb, I will. So eventually I did. I went to church one Sunday. And I liked it. And so then Randy, he started coming occasionally. He was not going every single Sunday. But he would go with me occasionally too. And from that, the ripple effects of my son, who was 10, he was 10 at the time, how God used him to get his parents into church. And because of that, it wasn't long after that that Randy's mom and brother passed away. Some of you know that story. His mom and brother passed away in the same week in June of 2013. And so if we had not been in church, I don't know what we would have done. And we weren't living our life right, but we were in church. And so from that, because that tragic thing happened in Randy's life, Randy was saved. Well, the ripple effects of Randy being saved and leading our family changed our life forever. I wouldn't be here. I would not be here if it had not been my persistent 10-year-old son that kept saying, Mommy, need to go to church. Mommy, need to go to church. So with that being said, it doesn't matter your age. As long as your why is God, you can be useful. He's going to meet you where you are. He's going to change you if you allow him. You just got to let him. And let God be your why. Let us stand and pray.